This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I ask Allah Azza wa Jal that He accept from us all this gathering, that He forgive our sins and our shortcomings, and that He admit us into the highest levels on the paradise. And wallahi, yani your presence tonight is appreciated. It is first and foremost appreciated by Allah Azza wa Jal. Those who come to Al-Masjid seeking knowledge, learning how to benefit themselves, how to draw nearer and closer to Allah Azza wa Jal, because that should be the intention of each and every single one of us here. How are you going to better your relationship with Allah and mend it and get closer to Allah Azza wa Jal? The one who comes with this intention, Allah Azza wa Jal promises them in Surah An-Nur, وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ. Allah Azza wa Jal increases them in His blessings and favors, and He opens upon them doors of goodnesses. My brothers and sisters in Islam, tonight my discussion with you is about the importance of preparing your family for the month of Ramadan. And I say this is a very important topic. It is of utmost importance. Why? Because in today's day and age, we're finding that many fathers, many mothers, many parents have abandoned their children, have abandoned their Islamic responsibility towards their children. Yesterday, I was in Melbourne, and a mother came to me with a complaint. Wallahi, she came with a complaint. And she had a paper, she had her complaint written on a paper. And one of the things she had written in this paper, she wrote that her husband has informed her and he has told her, I am no longer able to be a father to my children. Use whatever you want from my money, take whatever you want, spend it on our children, but I can no longer be a father to my children. I don't have it in me. What is he leaving his Islamic responsibility with his children for? What? He's leaving it for the long nights, for the hangouts with the boys. He's leaving it for the late night fishing trips. This is what he's leaving his family for. He's declaring, he's saying to her, I can no longer be a father. And this is a situation many, many Muslim parents are suffering from. This is a huge crisis in Ummatul Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in today's day and age. The father doesn't want to do his responsibility anymore. He believes that the fact that I feed my children, and I clothe them, and I provide for them home, and I provide for them someone to serve them, a mother that puts in the house and serves them, she drives them to school and back, I've done my responsibility before Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what many parents, many fathers are thinking. He's done his responsibility. Little did such people know that the greatest responsibility you have with your children is their Islamic upbringing, is bringing them upon Islam and upon Iman, and nurturing them in terms of their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the first thing you'll be questioned on the Day of Judgment when it comes to your responsibility and those who Allah Azza wa Jal entrusted you with. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, كُلُّكُمْ رَاعٍ وَكُلُّكُمْ مَسْئُولٌ عَنْ رَعِيَّتِهِ, that each and every single one of you are shepherds and you are responsible for your flock, and you'll be questioned. And if you'll be questioned, that means there is questions and there is a questioner. The questioner is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the questions are to you, directed to you. What did you do with this responsibility that Allah azza wa jal gave you? This child, this young boy that is inside your home, and this young girl that Allah azza wa jal gave you, what did you teach them of Islam? What did you teach them of the religion of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? What did you teach them about Ramadan and the good acts and the righteous deeds that they are supposed to be doing? What did you teach them about their purpose in life, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did you teach them? This is a huge responsibility. Allah azza wa jal tells us in the Quran about Ya'qub alayhi salam. You know Ya'qub alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah azza wa jal. When he was dying, when he was on his deathbed, he's about to die, Allah Azza wa Jal captures that moment in the Quran and he tells us what exactly happened. You see, this moment was so important that it was recorded in the Quran and it was revealed 1,400 years ago. So it serves guidance for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for all of us. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he said, Am kuntum shuhada'a idh hadara Ya'qub al-maut? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, were you present? Were you there? When death presented itself to Ya'qub? When Ya'qub was dying, were you around? We weren't. No, we weren't. So listen, Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to tell us exactly what happened. He said, idh qala li banihi ma ta'buduna min ba'di. He said to his children, and they were around him. Who's among his children? Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf is a prophet of Allah, selected by Allah. Righteous, already righteous. But he asks his children a question on his deathbed. He says, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? My children, what are you going to worship after my death? Look at his concern. His concern is their religious affairs and religious matter. He doesn't care about anything else. He did not ask, what are you going to do with my wealth after I die? What are you going to do with my property after I die? What are you going to do with my friends after I die? Don't worry about all this. Your huge and greatest responsibility is the Islam and the deen of your children. He wants to make sure that they are upon a correct and straight path. And among them are prophets. He's saying to them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي? What are you going to worship after my death? These are righteous children. They said, نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون. We're going to worship one Lord and we're going to remain submitted to him for the rest of our lives. Allahu Akbar. He dies with peace. He dies with tranquility in his heart, knowing that those he was responsible for, he has fulfilled his responsibility. He's ready. He's ready to stand before Allah Azza wa Jal and to say, I have fulfilled my responsibility with my children. I left this worldly life hearing from them that they will worship Allah alone and no one else. Allahu Akbar. What a huge achievement it is for a father to hear from his children that they will worship Allah. They will worship Allah Azza wa Jal for the rest of their life. This is indeed the responsibility that you have been given. Not food and drink and feeding them and clothing them and taking them to soccer and so on. These are worldly matters. The moment they die, that's all finished. But a deen is what you're going to be questioned about. How can someone write something like this? I'm not too prepared to be a father to my children. Take whatever you want from my wealth. And this is a man that represents many in the community. Many in the community. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My brothers and sisters in Islam, one of the fundamental matters that keeps a marriage together and keeps a family together, because that's another issue, and I'm sure Sheikh Bilal, Jazahullahu Khairan, knows about these matters. One of the greatest things that keeps the family together and the marriage together is for the family to encourage one another upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. I repeat that again. One of the greatest fundamentals that keep a marriage together, keep the husband and wife together, and the children together, and the entire family together, is for the father and the mother and the children with each other to all encourage one another upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is a matter highlighted in the Quran more than once. Allah Azza wa Jal, when he told us something about the Prophet Ismail alayhi salam, Allah praised him for one thing. He said, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَالزَّكَاةِ وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. Ismail alayhi salam, he used to instruct and he used to encourage his family to the prayer and to pay his zakat. Allah highlighted this. This was a praiseworthy quality in Ismail alayhi salam. You know, just because he was always there for his family, telling them, get up and pray, give your zakat, get up and pray, give your zakat. As a result, وَكَانَ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ مَرْضِيًّا. Allah Azza wa Jal was pleased with him. He was pleased with him because he was with his family. He was on top of them. He was fulfilling his responsibility towards his family. Allah Azza wa Jal instructs the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of Surah Taha. He says, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكَ وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلتَّقْوَى. Allah Azza wa Jal, he instructs the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine this. He says to him, go and instruct your family. Command them to as-salat. وَاسْطَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And be patient over your commandment to them. Meaning, tell them, my kids, pray. My children pray again the next day, 5 times a day. Ramadan is coming. Remind them of fasting. Remind them of their religious obligations during Ramadan. And be patient, because it is going to be difficult to continue. You might give up. You might say, "Why am I going to repeat the same thing over and over every single day? Khalas, I've told them once, pray. They're not praying. I've told them once to fast. They're not interested. I can no longer do this. I've told them, get ready and be in the car before me so that we can drive to Salat al-Taraweeh. They're not there. I just take off." Allah is saying, "Wastabir alayha." There needs to be extreme patience exercised when instructing and commanding your family and encouraging them towards the good. I'm telling you, this is a solution that Allah Azza wa Jal taught us. A lot of people complaining that the marriage is falling apart, the family is falling apart. One of the things that strengthens it is you being there for your family, being there especially for their religious matters. Husband and wife must be encouraging each other upon the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, and doing that in front of their children, so that when the children grow up, they take this good habit. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, listen to this. These are ayat coming down in the Quran, but he's not far away from implementing them. Watch his life now, watch. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prays at night. And as he's ending his prayer, Aisha radiallahu anha, she's sleeping in front of him. So he taps on her feet and he says, "Qumi ya Aisha fa'awtiri." Get up, O Aisha, and pray your Salat al-Witr. This is a husband encouraging his wife upon the worship. Any part of the night, even if it's a sunnah, get up and pray sunnah. Get up and pray Salat al-Witr. A husband encouraging his wife. This is an example. These are manners that are real, that you're supposed to be implementing in your family. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waking her up to Salat al-Witr. Where are you at that time? And I tell you something, it only gets worse in Ramadan, subhanAllah. I don't know how. In Ramadan, the father is absent the entire night. Before Ramadan, at least he came and slept a few hours. But in Ramadan, the month in which you're supposed to take advantage and encourage your family, because the shaitan is locked up, you have more control over your family, you can get to them easier, their heart is softened, the doors of mercy are open, a shaitan is locked up, the hearts are ready to listen to the advice. See, in Ramadan, the masajid are always full. You know, we make videos, we upload videos in Ramadan, that's where the most views are. People naturally are listening in Ramadan. And the father in Ramadan decides to disappear altogether. How is this real? How is this a Muslim fulfilling his responsibility in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awakening Aisha radiallahu anha for Salat al-Witr. Listen to this other incident. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one night he leaves his house. And this is what, these are sunnah, voluntary matters. Imagine how much more he is active in instructing his family upon the fara'id, upon the obligations. These are just sunan. He walks across to the house of his daughter from his family. I told you, encouraging the family, children, wife encouraging husband, husband encouraging wife, and so on. He walks across and he gets to the house of his daughter Fatima, and he knocks the door and he enters, and she is with her husband Ali radiallahu anhu. And he says to them, "Quma fasalliya." Get up, both of you, and pray. Get up. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back to his apartment and prayed a long night. And the narration in Sahih al-Bukhari, it says, فَلَمْ يَسْمَعْ لَنَا حِسَّةً. He did not hear any noise that suggests they've gotten up to pray. He just went back to sleep. For after a long night of salat, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back and he opened the door and he said to them, أَلَا تَقُومَا فَتُصَلِّيَا. Why didn't both of you get up and pray? شوف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's a voluntary salat. But look at the concern. Look at the sabr. He didn't give up. I've already told him. Don't worry about it. And it is a sunnah, not a fard. He went back in. And then Ali رضي الله عنه got up and he says, he was rubbing his eyes. because he had slept, and he got up and he says, Ya Rasulallah, ma nusalli illa ma kutiba lana. We only pray what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for us. وَإِنَّمَا نَحْنُ أَنفُسُ. We're only souls, you know. When we sleep, Allah has taken our souls away and he's making excuses. And then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hit on his thigh. And he said, مَا نُصَلِّ إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَنَا مَا نُصَلِّ إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَنَا وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا. And he walked off. He said, what is this excuse you're using? We only pray what is written for us. We only pray what is written for us. The human being argues too much. And he walked off. Like, look at the ID. Look at these words. When Ali radiallahu anhu heard this from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you laughed. But did he laugh? I don't know. I don't know if he laughed. He must have thought, maybe this is serious. Like, and this is the type of attitude that is required. When it comes to fasting, look at this. When it comes specifically to fasting, when it was the day of Ashura, and the believers had to fast the day of Ashura, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to the Ansar, to those that were in the outskirts of Al-Madina, he sent a message. And he said to the messenger, go and inform them. This is about fasting. Go and inform them that if they haven't eaten anything yet from the morning, continue the day fasting. And whoever has eaten something after Fajr, then let him continue whatever remains of the day fasting. Don't eat anymore. So the narrator, Al-Rabi' bintu Mu'awwidh radiallahu anha, she says, so we would instruct and command our children to fast. We would encourage our children to fast. And we would go to al-masjid. Look, all this for the children. And we would go to the masjid. And we would make toys from al-ihn, from wool. They'll make wool. They'll put it together like a toy. And then if one of the children began to cry from hunger, we would give him the toy. And that would distract him until al-fitr time, until maghrib time, and then we would break our fast. All of this preparation that this mother was going through was just, how am I going to keep this child steadfast upon the worship of fasting? There needs to be some serious encouragement and involvement of yourself and of the mother in the life of their children concerning their deen and their relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the huge and greatest responsibility you'll be asked about. What did you do about their deen? This was a responsibility. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. When his son died as a disbeliever, he's still worried. He's asking Allah Azza wa Jal, inna ibni min ahli. My Lord, my son is from my family. He's like begging Allah, please, show my son, what am I going to do about him? Allah Azza wa Jal had decreed that he dies a disbeliever. But the concern, the worry for the children and their religious matters. Have mercy in your heart. Have mercy. These are children, they have no idea. They're depending first and foremost upon Allah and then you, the father and the mother. Where are they going to learn their deen from? Where? Where today people are concerned? LGBT is all over the place. Rainbows are all over the place. What do we do? What do you do? Teach your children a deen. And then, لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. They will not reach you. They will not get to you. As the angels, when they visited the house of Lut alayhi salam, this is how they comforted him. They said to him, relax, don't worry. لَنْ يَصِلُوا إِلَيْكَ. What do you have to worry about? You've held onto your deen, you're committed onto your religion, you have value and worth in the sight of Allah. And Allah Azza wa Jal held back his punishment until Lut, only one man, غَيْرَ بَيْتٍ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, one house of the Muslims. He got him out safely, and then the punishment came down on thousands of homes. The believer is of value and of worth in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal. What are you worried about? What do I do with my children and heart and so on? Teach them their deen, and Allah Azza wa Jal will look after them. And there needs to be great sacrifice. Hey, you're going to have to leave out a lot of hangouts. A lot of hangouts you're going to have to leave out. Especially in Ramadan. How, subhanAllah, how has the shaitan fooled and tricked the Muslim father that when Ramadan comes, he disappears from the house altogether? وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Understand, you play a huge responsibility that begins from Salat al-Fajr. At Suhoor, you sit on the table, don't eat until your children are down there with you. And yes, a mother or a father might feel in their heart, leave him, Leave him sleeping, he's tired. Don't have these feelings from the shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jal has more mercy over your children than you have over them. Get him up. Wallahi, if you had a school excursion and the school had told you the bus will pick him up at 4 a.m, wallahi, you'd wake him up. He'd be awake, he'd be sounding outside, the mother's on top of his head. That's the first thing. As-suhoor, down on the table, eating this meal and teaching him simple virtues. You have to teach the virtues. Because if a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach his companions the virtues, and that would motivate the companions to do a deed, then the human being needs to hear the virtues. Right? You look them up. I have videos online. There's a lot of articles online that speak about these matters. Afterwards, Salat al-Fajr together. You get your children, bring them with you. To Salat al-Fajr. And then you fast a day. As if the child is, maybe 7 years old is a good year to start fasting, just like it's a good year to start the Salat. Of course, if they cannot fast a day, maybe until Salat al-Dhuhr, maybe, you know, or go from Salat al-Asr until Maghrib and teach them, this is what you're doing now is called fasting. It was a partial fasting when we were going to refrain from eating and drinking, right? And then some mothers are like this, some fathers are like this. How? This is torture. How am I going to make the child fast a few hours? Torture. But the same parents, they go to a doctor. We need to do a blood test for your son. He needs to fast 10 hours. And no worries. It becomes all right. He's not starving anymore. Because the doctor said so. Allah Azza wa Jal created this body, and it is absolutely perfect and fine, and it is able to fast. This is how it was created. It can manage fasting, it can. You know? And I'm not saying to make them fast if they're 7 and 8 and 9, 30 days in a row. Maybe that's going to be difficult. But there should be encouragement. They should every single day of Ramadan. What are you going to fast, my son, today? How many hours? From which salat to which salat are you going to fast? And give some incentives, some rewards. You can. There's no problem in this. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'd say, "Man qatala qatilan falahu salabuh." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to put prizes for worships. Whoever kills a disbeliever while in a proper jihad, whoever kills a disbeliever, then his prize is that he can take his belongings. Yalla, was sahaba radiallahu anhum motivated and excited. And so you can set prizes up. Whoever fasts from you, my children, such and such hours, for every hour, we're going to give him $10, for example. No problems. You know, but make sure first and foremost you encourage them upon the worship by mentioning to them the reward that comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. Tie them to that matter, not to worldly matters. Get them used to that first and foremost. So you can say, by the end of Ramadan, I'll give you a gift without you telling him what it is. And then tell him your reward is upon Allah. And no one can reward you more than Allah Azza wa Jal can reward you for your worship. Now, this is the message I wanted to share with you. And especially when it comes to Salat al-Taraweeh, bring your children with you. If they are at the age of 7, 8, you're responsible to keep him right next to you and that he prays. Al-Masajid are made for Salat and Dhikrullah Azza wa Jal. So if it's a 3-year-old kid, don't bring him to the masjid. Because what's a 3-year-old going to do? He's going to disturb more than he's going to add and bring khushu' to the believers. A 3-year-old doesn't come to the masjid. A 5, maybe a 6-year-old, 7-year-old can come to the masjid. 8, by khalas, by then, he should be right next to you. Not in Allah, he was stuck in the toilet and I had to leave. You wait for him. You bring him in the car and you drive him with you. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us all. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal that he instill love in al-Islam in our hearts and the hearts of our children. We ask him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us all. Allahu alam wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.